Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. It is starting to heat up. It is starting to feel like summer. And unfortunately, baseball hasn't started yet. That's really unusual. About this time, we would normally be involved heavily in baseball. And we have with us a guy today who knows that all too well. You know, a lot of times it's just great to come upon players, coaches, various athletes who are just coming up in the system. And Sean Godfrey, who's with us today, is definitely one of those guys. He is the one of the minor league hitting instructors for the Houston Astros. And if things were going the way that normally they would be going, he'd be a hitting instructor in the Midwest League with the Astros farm team in Quad Cities, Iowa. I think that's Davenport, Iowa, where they play. And the Quad Cities, of course, are four different cities, two in Illinois, two in Iowa, right there. And the Midwest League is one of my favorite baseball leagues. It's got all kinds of different teams in it, like Grand Rapids and South Bend, Peoria, Dayton, and Quad Cities. And unfortunately, the way that baseball is going, not just this year or next, the Midwest League might be actually going away since the major leagues are trimming down their minor league teams. And so Sean is one of those players whose kind of career is kind of, he's trying to figure out exactly what's going to be next. And great being with him. He's a guy that I have followed for a couple of years. We've become friends, and he got into minor league baseball with the Atlanta Braves, got up to playing for the Mississippi Braves in AA, and came out of Ball State, had a great career at Ball State University, and now is in the coaching ranks with the Houston Astros in their minor league team in Quad City. So we'll see what happens. But he is a man of God, and he has a testimony about where Jesus Christ stands in his life. And so we thought that's what you'd want to hear. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Sean Godfrey of the Houston Astros. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today our guest is a guy that's become a friend of mine. He is in baseball. He is a minor league hitting instructor in the Houston Astros organization. Currently, he would be, if we had baseball, he would be the hitting instructor for the Quad Cities River Rats. Is that what they're called?
River Bandits.
River Bandits. Cities River Bandits in the Midwest League. Sean Godfrey.
Yep,
Sean, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, appreciate you, Tom. Good to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about baseball. Baseball right now, as we're sitting here, is up in the air. You are basically something that you have not done probably in years, and that's you are out of a job. I guess you're still got a job, but there's nothing going on because baseball, like everything else, pretty much has been shut down. You should be in mid-season Class A in Davenport, Iowa somewhere.
Yep.
But the pandemic has shut things down. What, if anything, are you doing at this time?
I've been actually back home. I had the chance to go down to spring training for like 3 or 4 days. And then that all pretty much shut down, everything hit. And I've been back here at home in Indiana ever since. So basically we're still doing some remote style coaching, keeping up with our players, sharing videos, talking with other coaches, doing some presentations, really just trying to continue to learn and to grow and see how much we can use this time to our advantage. So I've been busy with that, but also had a lot more free time on my hands. So been able to get on the golf course, just spend a lot of time reading, doing some, different stuff just to enjoy my free time. So it's been good.
The Quad Cities teams in the Midwest League, one of my favorite leagues because it just has great stadiums, even though it's not – high caliber as far as the players go. You got a long way to go to get to the majors. But tell me who would be playing. Who are the players in the Midwest League? Where do they come from, and what level are they?
So, yeah, the Midwest League, it's like you said a little bit ago, my team was supposed to be based out of Davenport, Iowa. But, yeah, it's basically guys at the low A level in the minor leagues, baseball. It's a mix as far as player goes from you got Latin guys, American guys, some guys from college, some guys from high school, and they're kind of working their way up the ranks. So, yeah, it's just kind of like a nice mix. This year I probably would have had a lot of guys who I had last year at the rookie ball level who are advancing a level this year, but yeah, just a good mix of guys.
So you know some of these guys, particularly last year, your first year in baseball as a coach, you were in Troy, New York, mm-hmm. with what's Tri-City, is that the name of it?
Yeah, Tri-City Valley Cats. There's a whole bunch of different crazy names for these minor league teams.
They but do.
Tri-City is Quants. Yeah.
Last year was your first year out of baseball as a player. How emotional was the transition when you went? You were playing independent ball for 2 years in Schaumburg, Illinois. Mm-hmm. What was the transition like for you in those as you went from being a player to basically not knowing what you were going to do?
Yeah, so something I always told myself throughout my career is when I finish playing, whether it's, I don't know, after high school or college or professionally, something I always told myself is that I don't want to have any shoulda, coulda, wouldas, or any regrets, anything that I look back on and wish that I would have done different. So it was my last season was 2018, and about halfway or so through that year, I was kind of knew that I was at a point where I was content, just kind of like the passion wasn't quite there as much. And I was kind of just like starting to realize that it was my time to move on to get into something else. And at the time, I wasn't really too sure what that was going to be and if it was going to be in baseball or out of baseball. So at the time, it was almost kind of say like a relief, just because I know that I did my best. I was 26 years old, so at that point, I'm probably not going to be making it to the big leagues, but I gave it everything I had. And, took all the sacrifices that I needed to take, and so I felt at peace with it and ready to move on to the next step.
Now let's talk a little bit about the guys that you played, the guys that you were coaching in the rookie league, and of course some of those are in the Midwest League. What percentage, if any, of those guys do you think has a chance to get to play in the majors?
Man, it's tough to give an actual percentage because I think it always varies, but the way I guess, obviously, as a coach's perspective, and I'm still learning about this just because I'm only in my second year, but you get a chance to kind of see the bigger picture a little bit. And a lot of times it's easy to – you see guys kind of just get caught up in the day-to-day stuff and riding the ups and downs of everything. But the way that I try to look at it or approach my job is just to see every player as – like see his potential and see his ability and not try to like create something they're not, but give them every chance to discover their potential and their best self as a player. And so I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are of those guys making it, because it is a tough road and not everybody's gonna get up and make it to the big leagues, unfortunately. But yeah, I just see it almost like kind of just from the more personal perspective.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. When you're looking at these guys, you got young guys coming out. I don't know if you have any guys that are married. They certainly have girlfriends.
Yep.
You got guys that are on the road every day, or not on the road every day, but many of them are away from home. Many of them come from other countries. Did you have the opportunity, or did you, you were younger than some of the other coaches, and so they might relate to you a little more. Did you have the opportunity to kind of mentor these guys a little bit away from the ballpark, like not just because you'd been through it, you'd been through this league mm-hmm. and played in the minors. Did you have a chance to kind of say, guys, away from baseball, here's kind of the way you should live your life?
Yeah, to an extent. I definitely don't ever feel like I feel the need to tell somebody how to live their life or what to do, but I have always looked at it like I can be a light, I can be a leader figure and set an example for a lot of these guys. So I would say I think one of my biggest strengths as a coach is that I still do see things from the player's perspective. And I do my best to not forget how hard it is, because if you think about the position these a lot of these kids are in, they're basically chasing the dream, something they've been spending their entire life working towards, and now they're only a couple steps away from, you know, potentially making it, making some big money, changing their family's lives, being able to support them. So that's something that I don't take lightly. But yeah, from a baseball standpoint, like the grind of the minor leagues is, it can be a real thing. It can be a really lonely place for players at times, and especially even more so when you're struggling and things aren't going your way. So there's definitely a big part of my job is just to really be almost like people first, and then, you know, like see the bigger picture, how things are going, and then do the best that I can to give them and allow them to kind of be at peace and see things from a realistic perspective and go from there.
Yeah, you talk about the grind, and people don't understand. They say, well, these are guys, they're even, some of them are getting nice bonuses to play and all that, but
yeah,
you got a, what'd you play, 82-game schedule in the rookie league, something like that?
Yeah, the half season it was like 70-something games.
You got guys
yeah.
from all over the country, and other, as we said, you got guys from other countries, from Latin American countries. You got long bus rides, you got early wake-up calls and all that. And
yep.
So how was it for you to readjust to that? You had moved up. You got all the way to Double-A, and we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But how was it even for you as a coach to make that adjustment?
That's actually, I got a kind of funny story to explain that well. So anyways, my very first game last year, or our first game with Tri-City, we were playing on the road at this ballpark, and we get there to the field, we're like 3 or 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours before the game. And normally before games, they'll give you a pregame spread of some food. It's usually not a whole bunch, but something to kind of hold you over till the end of the game. And we get there and we're going through our warm-ups, and we go back and we have about an hour before the game, and we have a table, and that's where they put the food before the game. And we had, for our pregame spread, we had one bag of apples and a jar of peanut butter. And so this is, we have professional athletes, you know, there we have guys on our team assigned for millions of dollars, a couple of them. And we are all about, you know, you have to be at peak performance, top level, and these guys are getting a bag of apples and a jar of peanut butter. So that, it just, situations like that, it's not a routine thing. We usually have more, but it just really is like, man, you know what? It's a reminder where we're at, and this is, you know, we're in the trenches right now.
Welcome to the minors. Our guest is Sean Godfrey. He's a minor league hitting instructor with the Houston Astros. We will take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Sean Godfrey, who is currently on hold with everybody else in baseball right now, hoping to get back at it. Maybe not this year in the minor leagues, but perhaps during the fall in a fall league, or get back next year. Let's talk a little bit about your life, Sean, as a player. You were drafted in the 22nd round, 2014 draft by the Atlanta Braves, came out of Ball State University, where you had a nice career. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts when you look back at your minor league career, where you got all the way up to Double-A playing for the Mississippi Braves. What was it like for you as a player?
Oh, wow, man. I got a lot of thoughts. I've had some time to think about, think back to the career now since it's been a couple years. But, yeah, looking back, I will say my minor league career overall, just to see the bigger picture, I will say I actually probably kind of didn't really enjoy it as much as I feel like I could have. I've had a tendency, and I've been this way since I was raised from a long time ago, but I had a tendency, especially in minor league baseball, came out, but just to be very hard on myself and to be having these really high expectations and wanting to work hard and do the most and be the best. And in a lot of ways, even when I did have success, it turned into me not enjoying things as much as I could have, and actually kind of, in a way, I think roundaboutly negatively affecting my performance. Just putting so much into it and wanting to control it. And so that was actually something that I think that kind of got in my way a little bit, and I can see that from a little bit more of an outsider perspective, bigger perspective now that it's over. So I definitely I had good stuff. There was tons of positives and made a lot of friends and had a lot of really cool experiences and did everything I could. But at times, looking back, I think that was one of the biggest takeaways that I had from my career.
You were an outfielder,
yes.
Right? You were an outfielder. You played for Ball State University, and had a nice career. You said you were a walk-on at Ball State, mm-hmm. a preferred walk-on, but by the end, you were doing very, very well. In fact, I believe you were Division I All-American at Ball State. Is that not – I think I read that.
Yeah, that's correct. So, yeah, coming out of high school, I was kind of always labeled as that skinny, like scrawny, small, kind of fast guy, little athleticism. So not really like a physical, big physical, strong dude that you look at and see. So, I talked to a couple schools, and I was doing some travel ball, went to some baseball camps, and went to a camp up at Ball State. It's just like a one-day kind of camp. My mom drove me up there and ended up ran a decent 60 time, and I think the coach liked my swing and saw some athleticism, so we kind of just stayed in touch, and he offered me a preferred walk-on spot. Didn't have any money, but I was able to kind of take that and grow and develop in the program quite a bit, and got me to where I was at.
In 2015, 2016, I think you had a couple of years where you played Double A. That was your highest level in the Atlanta Braves organization.
Mm-hmm.
You played with some guys that are in the majors now. Tell me a couple of little guys. Ronald Acuna was on that team, I believe. Who else was on that team?
We had a lot of guys. That was an exciting time. Most of the time when I was with the Braves, we were like the top three farm systems in all of baseball. And we had Ozzie Albies, Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Sean Newcomb. I know I'm going to forget a bunch of guys. Rio Ruiz was there. There were some other pitchers. I wasn't as close with the pitchers as position players, but
that usually happens.
Yeah, we put out some really good teams. It was fun to be around a lot of those guys, and it's really cool to still kind of flip on the TV and see some of those guys doing well. Yeah, it's really cool to see that for them.
Let's talk a little bit about where you are as far as your spiritual life goes. I know one of the coaches that you had for the last couple of years, Rich Maloney, a good friend mm-hmm. of mine, has been on Face to Face, very strong spiritually. Did he have any influence on your life as far as spirituality?
Yeah, absolutely. He had a huge impact. So he was there at Ball State for my third and fourth year. We had a different coach my first 2 years. But when he came into Ball State, he was pretty much able to, within a year, completely flip our program and really turn it into a positive light in a lot of ways, not only like with our performance on the field, but just as far as developing team chemistry, getting guys to believe, getting guys to work together and work for the betterment of the team was really cool. So over those couple years, we developed a pretty close relationship, and he was able to mentor me, and he had a lot of the same experiences that I had. Funny enough, he actually played for the Braves too, but he has been a good role model for me in my life, and we've had the chance to really keep up. We talk, once every couple month or so, and he's always got some good words, and I like to get up and visit and see him whenever I can.
Christ is obviously very important in your life. When did Jesus Christ actually become maybe the top, one of the top priorities of your life?
I wouldn't say I have like a specific date or time that I can give to say that, but just to give you a little bit of history on myself. So I was raised pretty much growing up, going to church every Sunday with the family, and taught, do this and whatever. So I just, kind of just did it and didn't really think too much of it. And then I will say, when I got older and was able to kind of get on my own, I think I got away from it at times and kind of wanted to just honestly learn for myself and understand, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And so that was a time for me to just, I guess, not experiment, but just learn things for myself and find my own path instead of something that somebody else has told me that I have to do and live. So over the years of, I think, kind of like maybe trial and error of relying on myself and my ego and thinking I can control things and do things and failing over and over and over again. Maybe I'm a slow learner, but it's taken a while to kind of realize, like, you know what? Like, I do need to rely on God and His strength and what He can provide, and be okay with that and trust that He has a good plan and a strong plan. And so once it was like almost like kind of just like a letting go type thing for me. That's how I just like see it. It's just like a very freeing way to go about going about my business and not making everything about myself and being selfish and really just letting go, relying on Him, listening, and trying to be a light to shine. And like I think I said a little bit earlier, it's one of those things where I don't necessarily try to tell people what they need to do or like force anything on anybody, because I think it's something that everybody's kind of got to find roundaboutly for themselves in one way or another. And yeah, so it's definitely a big role. And like for me now, it's more of like a navigator, and I'll get off course sometimes, but it's like the older I'm getting, the better I think I am at just listening and getting better, like understanding and reading and growing in my faith and living it on a daily basis.
And I know reading is very important to you. I know the times that we have talked, you're always curious. You're always wanting to get into books. Are there any particular books you're reading right now that or that you've read recently that that kind of go along with that?
Oh man, yeah. So I've read a lot of books actually. More time here at the house. I've actually got in a book club, which is the first time I've ever done that. It's actually really fun. Group of guys from a martial arts gym that I train at are in it, and they're cool to talk to. But one book I read recently, I read it in high school and I actually reread it again recently, but it was a book called 1984. I don't know if you've heard of that or not.
George Orwell, right?
Yeah, just it was written back in the 40s or 50s about a dystopian future, and I thought it was kind of, I guess, fitting in some ways for thinking about things and how they're going right now these days. But for those of you who don't know the story, it's about a future potential society where everything you do is watched. People are turned into robots, basically. And it's kind of just shows like some examples of maybe what's
happening now. Yeah.
But, yeah, it puts things in a little different light, and it was an interesting book to read, for the times. Yeah. I finished that a couple weeks ago. I thought that was interesting.
Good. We're pretty much out of time, Sean. I always appreciate being with you. Tell me if you have a favorite verse that means a lot to you right now.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of verses out there, but one verse that's really stuck with me is Joshua 1:9. I think it's a pretty common verse, but basically what it says is, it says, "Haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And what I really take away from that, the biggest part, is the last end of it is, "The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Basically, His love and His light, it's in us, and we can choose to see that and perceive that and listen and just live that out in our basically relationships on a daily basis, whether it's conversations or how we're going out about our business. And I think we can spread that, and that's always just a really good reminder. It's in the back of my head a lot.
Sean, thanks for being with us. Good luck. I know we'll get together again, hopefully on the baseball field or on the golf course or somewhere. And always appreciate you being here. Sean Godfrey, minor league hitting instructor for the Houston Astros. We will take a break and be back, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our time with Sean, and certainly a personable young man, and I think he's going to I think he's going to have a career somewhere. My own personal opinion is that if some of these minor league teams and minor leagues, some of the more of the rookie leagues and some of the lower teams, if they go away, I think they're going to come up and be a part of the independent. I think there's going to be a lot of independent baseball in the next year or years to come, because a lot of these teams have put their money in new stadiums. They've put their money into the community, and a lot of these teams, even though they may not be affiliated with a major league team, are going to have baseball. And we'll see exactly. We'll keep track of Sean. We'll see exactly where he's at. We hope that you enjoy this interview and enjoy the others, and we hope that you will keep track of us through our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. That's facetofaceradio.com, and I hope you'll check that out. We have a number of things there. And there's other articles up there in which we let you know about what's going on in the sports world. There's a lot happening in the sports world, particularly as it relates to spirituality. There's a lot of players, coaches, fans, everybody kind of holding their breath to see exactly what's going to happen. And, of course, none of us knows. And this is going to be a real crucial year, so as far as the sports world goes. So we'll see what happens, whether the NBA, the National Hockey League, even the NFL, what are they going to do? Are we going to have fans in the stands? I don't think we really – we just don't know. So we'll keep hope you'll keep track of it through our website. We'll try to keep you up to date as much as possible. Again, facetofaceradio.com, that's our website. Hope that you'll check that out and tell your friends about it. Well, as we close for you today, I want to take you to a passage in 1 John. That's, to me, that's the book of love. That's the one where God talks about his love, and that word love is mentioned many times. And here's what 1 John 3:2 says. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, those words are true. We don't know yet what we will be like in the future, whether the future on this earth or the future in heaven, but we know that God will always be with us, and we love him for that. We know that he loves us. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.